Hi, everyone. This is Ethan. And before the podcast begins, I thought I'd invite you to some gigs I have coming up in Chicago, Sacramento, and Superior, Wisconsin. So get your calendar out if you live near those places. Okay. So I'll be at the Ravinia Festival in Chicago on March 9th. I'll be at the University of Wisconsin Superior on March 30th. And I'll be giving a concert for the Sacramento Community Concert Association at Riverside United Methodist Church in Sacramento, and that's on April 7th. And if you can make it to one of these, please say hello after. And if you live too far, well, please be patient. Or pull some strings for me at your favorite concert venue. That should speed up the process. Okay, on with the podcast. Well, hello there, listeners. Welcome to the Carolina Shout podcast with me, Ethan Uslan. I'm here to entertain you with my piano playing. So that was my jazzy version of Beethoven's famous Für Elise. There's a video of me on YouTube playing that, and it has like 3 million views. What can I say? People are sick of Für Elise the Beethoven way, and it's a form of therapy to hear somebody mess with it. Für Elise-itis is real, and I'm here to help. I'm also here to help you with your other ragtime needs, so I will now play for you some more in a few moments. I'd like to dig up a little ragtime number that I played a long time ago on this podcast, and then I never played it again since it's kind of difficult, but I've been working on it. It's called The Battle of San Juan Hill by Mike Bernard. The Battle of San Juan Hill, as you may know, was a pivotal battle in the Spanish-American War. Down in Cuba, Teddy Roosevelt and his Rough Riders famously endured heavy fire to capture a Spanish outpost. Their bravery inspired a lot of patriotism for many years after the event, and it inspired the piece I'm about to play for you. Now, The Battle of San Juan Hill by Mike Bernard, which is what I'm about to play, it's what they used to call a battle piece. You will hear several patriotic songs, including the Battle Cry of Freedom, which was a Union Civil War song, Yankee Doodle, Dixie, The Star-Spangled Banner, and The Girl I Left Behind Me, which I'm sure you will recognize. You will also hear bugle calls, fife and drum duets, and a musical representation of cannon fire. And before I play the piece, let me tell you a bit about its composer, Mike Bernard. Bernard was a New Yorker, was successful on the vaudeville circuit for a time, and he was the winner of various ragtime piano contests held in the city. There's an old newspaper article about him winning a contest at the Tammany Hall building in 1900 and received a big diamond-studded trophy. And so as the accolades came rolling in, Mike Bernard began to bill himself as the ragtime king of the world. But by the 1920s, he was quickly forgotten. But one person who remembered him was none other than George Gershwin, who had this to say. Mike Bernard had a habit of playing the melody in the left hand while he wove a filigree of counterpoint with the right. For a time, this was all the rage. And this procedure that Gershwin just described, this is exactly what you will hear in the Battle of San Juan Hill. At various points, you will indeed hear the melody in the left hand, and in the right, you will hear a filigree of high notes in counterpoint. In this case, it's Mike Bernard's way of imitating the sound of the fife. It's clever, and I hope you find it as memorable as Gershwin did. Okay, now I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to play the damn thing. The Battle of San Juan Hill by Mike Bernard, the ragtime king of the world. Ready, aim, fire. Thank you. So that was the Battle of San Juan Hill by Mike Bernard. How about those cannons? Pretty realistic, huh? Kind of reminds me of the 1812 Overture by Tchaikovsky, which, as you may know, is a symphonic overture that uses actual honest-to-God cannons. I always thought it was crazy to use real cannons in a symphony. I mean, you could just use the piano instead. Sounds just as cannony. And if you use real cannons, that's just an accident waiting to happen. You could blow up the audience. Which brings me to the next piece I'd like to play. It's a Scott Joplin march that describes an actual event in which a few unfortunate audience members were actually blown up. Which isn't funny, I know, but it's been over 100 years, so I don't think you should be offended. Here's the story. In 1896, 40,000 people converged in the middle of an open field in Texas to watch two trains crash together at full speed. It was a publicity stunt held by the railroad company. It was called the Crush Collision. This sounds redundant because most collisions involve crushing, but it was actually named after William Crush, who was the railroad employee who was the lead organizer of the event. In my opinion, Mr. Crush was criminally negligent and should have done jail time, because when the trains collided, the boilers exploded and shrapnel was sent into the audience, killing three people. But for some reason, which I can't fully comprehend, the public was not that angry about it, and the Crush Collision was remembered fondly. One person who seemed to have enjoyed the Crush Collision was none other than Scott Joplin, who was in Texas at the time. He either attended the collision, or he just heard about it. But either way, he was inspired to compose a joyful march about the collision. During the final section of the march, you can hear a musical depiction of Train 1 rumbling down the track and then blowing its whistle. Then you hear Train 2 rumbling down the track and blowing its whistle. Then you hear the crash. Then the section repeats and you hear the trains crash a second time. Of course, in real life, the trains crashed only once, but in music, we can make them crash as much as we'd like and nobody gets hurt. Music is a wonderful thing. Here it is, the Great Crush Collision March by Scott Joplin. Thank you. And so that was the Great Crush Collision March by the great Scott Joplin, one of his earliest published works, and in my opinion, one of his most underrated compositions. I think if you play it right, that train crash is funny and clever. Scott Joplin clearly had a good sense of humor. Most accounts of his personality depict him as quiet and serious, but I believe he had a funny side. Maybe he needed a few drinks to loosen up. I can imagine him playing that train crash at a Texas saloon and everybody would be cracking up. Okay, I believe that one good train song deserves another, so I'm going to play my special arrangement of O Susanna, which has a train in it. Here's the story behind my version of O Susanna. A few years ago, I sat down at the piano, and I had the idea to take O Susanna and arrange it in a kind of classical way. I don't think that's a crazy idea, because O Susanna was composed in 1848, during the age of fancy romantic classical composers like Liszt and Chopin. And in America, Louis Moreau Gottschalk was taking American popular music styles and combining it with European classical music styles. So I sat down at the piano with all this in mind, trying to figure out how to play O Susanna in a neo-romantic way. I thought of Gottschalk's famous piece entitled The Banjo, and I imitated that at the beginning of the piece. And I like how that worked out, because as I'm sure you know, the lyrics to O Susanna are about a guy who comes from Alabama with a banjo on his knee. So I think that makes perfect sense to start the song banjoistically. So after I played the beginning in banjo style, I got the idea to imitate another famous Gottschalk piece called The Union, in which he imitates the drum and fife. So get ready for some more drum and fife. And after the drum and fife, I started summoning Franz Schubert. I made a musical reference to Schubert's The Erl King, which is a famous classical piece I used to play during my classical days. The main Erl King theme sounds like this. So as you may have guessed from that theme of the Erl King, the Erl King is very evil. The Erl King is a child-killing demon from Danish folklore, actually. It's very dark. Anyway, I took Schubert's Erl King theme and kind of tweaked it into O Susanna, and the result is that it sounds like Susanna is being attacked by a Danish demon, which is a bit too bizarre for my tastes. So I would prefer if you imagine that instead of an Erl King, Susanna is being accosted by an old-timey villain with a turned-up mustache, and he snatches her and ties her to the railroad tracks. Then you will hear the man with the banjo on his knee running as fast as he can to save Susanna while the train is barreling down the track. Who will get there first, the man with the banjo on his knee or the train? Or will the Erl King show up again and kill everybody? Why don't I play it so we can find out? Here it is, Stephen Foster's O Susanna, played in the style of Gottschalk and Schubert. So that was Oh Susanna, and as you could hear, she was rescued at the end. And she and the man with the banjo on his knee kiss and ride off into the sunset. Maybe one day I will cook up another version with an alternate ending. With Earl Kings and Valkyries, maybe a chupacabra, basilisks, all sorts of dangerous mythological figures. And maybe if I can scrounge up the extra cash, I could buy some real cannons and fire them off during the grand finale, like Tchaikovsky. Hey, Kate, why don't we roll the credits and you can check Craigslist for cannons. You have been listening to The Carolina Show. I'm Ethan, your piano player and host. Kate Uselin is the audio engineer and supplier of munitions. Speaking of deadly weapons and my wife, did you know that Kate won an archery contest at summer camp when she was a kid? It's true. She's always been a whiz with the bow and arrow. I'm serious. Hey, Kate, I'm going to put this apple on my head. Stand over on the other side of the room. Yeah, back up a little. Good. All right. Ready? Aim. Fire. Whoa, nice job. Another bullseye. You are really something else, Katie Pooh. Proud of you.